I can't control this dog. Oh, that I could. My life would be so much easier.
I like that she has opinions on the way that... on the way that Pennsylvania is currently trending. She's right, though, in that it does look like a big lead for Trump at the moment, but there is room for Biden to make up that lost ground. And so it might end up being a very, very close win for Joe Biden in the end, once all the results come in. Unfortunately, the problem with Pennsylvania is there won't be an update from there until tomorrow now. So we won't know during the recording of this show whether or not Pennsylvania has in fact gone blue. But no, that was a good point, Jalea. Thank you for pointing that out.
Hello, you're listening to Brazil Nuts, an insane journey through the world of Brazilian politics, with your hosts, Larissa Peixoto, political scientist, and Gareth Davis, Rick Santorum's personal fluffer. On this episode, we talk about not Brazilian politics, but actually pivot to, yes, you've guessed it, the US elections. So stick with us and let's, you know, talk about Nevada and Michigan and Pennsylvania and stuff like that. Please like, rate, subscribe, and all that good stuff. And Jalea needs to be let out, so I gotta go do that now. Thanks, everyone.
This is a sort of live-ish episode in the sense that we're recording this a lot later in the week than we normally do. It's election night, everybody. It's actually the day after election night. We still have no idea who's won the US election. It's looking at the moment that it may very well be... oh,
Biden.
The boss, Joe Biden, has come home to reclaim his patch. If you think of this in terms of Sons of Anarchy. And so really, we can't talk about the results at all because we don't know what the results are going to be. We can kind of talk about what's been called already, but there's still a few states outstanding at the moment. Georgia, North Carolina, Michigan, Wisconsin just got projected for Biden. I know that.
I think Michigan has been called.
Has it really?
No, it hasn't been called, but it's really, really close.
Yeah, it's really close. It's too close to call at the moment. So is Nevada.
It's trending blue, yeah.
Yeah, it's trending blue, but
with
it hasn't been called as of yet.
75% reported so far.
Yeah, indeed, absolutely. Yeah. And still to come in with that.
That's a very
close one, because there's only about 9,000 votes in that one at the moment. So, ultimately, we think Joe Biden is going to be president, but we're not entirely sure at the moment. But the reason why we're doing this is because we want to talk, generally speaking, about the US election and what's been happening so far. Right, this is the first US election I've actually watched properly.
Really?
In my life. Yeah, because this is the actual first US election I've watched since I've been of an age to be aware of the US. The reason being is that normally what I do is I treat it the exact same way that I treat every election, which is on election night, I'll have a glass of wine, and then I will retire to bed at a reasonable hour, say half past of your 10s or 11s, and I will sleep all the way through the night, and I'll wake up in the morning and I'll find out who won. That's generally speaking how I do it, you know? Because it makes no difference whether I'm watching it up until 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning.
True.
Or if I find out at, you know, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning. The problem with this one is I woke up at 7 o'clock this morning, and I turned on my television, and it was still going on. And because it was still going on, I got sucked into it like a moth to a... to a political flame, because this Larissa Peixoto, political scientist, is what you've turned me into.
I'm sorry.
I have become a monster that you have designed.
I am sorry. You suggested this whole thing.
Yeah, because I thought it would be good to do. Seeing I've spent all day.
No, I mean the podcast. You suggested the podcast.
I don't think that's true.
It is too true.
I think this was your idea.
An episode of Sawbones, and I said, if we had a podcast, it would be like this. And then you said, we should do a podcast. You can talk about politics, and I can be funny.
Well, at least half of that is true.
Anyway, I'm not going to ask which half. I am not taking that bait.
Okay. All right, fine. I'll just leave that dangling.
This year...
That tasty piece of chum.
People in the United States actually decided to vote.
Hanging over the side of the boat?
Because they usually don't.
Chummy goodness. Yeah, no, it's been a massive turnout, apparently.
They usually think it's too much of a bother, or they're disenfranchised and can't actually vote, or, you know, they just don't. And the ones who do are Republicans. So this year, they decided to vote, and the ones who decided to vote are the ones scared by the pandemic. So they voted by mail. So now not only are we stuck with this horrible, horrible electoral system, we are stuck with this horrible, horrible voting system. Before, we had to wait the whole night for the votes to be counted, and we would wake up and know who got elected. And now we have to wait until maybe Friday or possibly Saturday, because people voted by mail, and those votes are only being opened today. Nevada hasn't been called because they started opening the ballots apparently at 10 a.m. this morning. So, you know.
I do love the idea that Nevada was like, ah, well, it's early. I mean, do we start? Should we start? No, no.
No, the casinos are still closed. Okay, then we're not working yet.
We haven't had our mimosas yet, our breakfast mimosas yet, right? Okay, all right, well, we'll have those, and then we'll start. Then we'll start opening them. Sorry, what? What? No, okay, right, so we'll have our mimosas and our bagels, and then we'll start. Yeah? Yeah? Okay, good. That's the most Nevada thing I can think of, honestly.
Exactly.
Basically, like, is that you wake up at midday, you have a mimosa for breakfast.
Shrimp cocktail.
Exactly, you saunter on down to the lobby of your hotel and you're like, man, I might do something. Or I might not. Who knows? I'm still wearing my bathrobe. I give no fucks.
So, yeah, so now the rest of the world is waiting with bated breath to this descent into fascism. Is it going to happen? Is it not? Are we just going to go back to our old ways of, okay, this middling level guy, he's not that great. He kind of sucks. He kind of has been accused of sexual assault. But, you know, he is not a fascist and a complete moron. So, okay?
Here's the thing, though. 2 a.m. U.S. time. Donald Trump came out and gave a speech. Did you see this at all?
No.
Okay, I did, because this happened exactly the same time that I turned on the television, right? So it was just happenstance that I happened to see this, but I saw it live as it happened. So Donald Trump comes out and gives a speech. It's all about how, you know, we're winning in Wisconsin, we're winning in Michigan.
Wait, they need
They need to stop counting the votes there and then. And it's this long-winded, rambling, incoherent, absolute nonsense. And then he announces that they did win the election, but just to make sure, you need to keep counting in Arizona or Nevada, but stop counting everywhere else. Thanks, okay, bye. Right? That was basically the gist of his speech. But then what he did is he got bored of giving the speech, and so he just gave up and then handed it over to good old Mikey Pence, who was lurking in the shadows there.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Pence came up and got on the mic. As they say in the rap battles. And he gave a speech which was basically Mike Pence going, you know, election is election, whatever, we're going to stay up all night, we'll watch it and it'll be fine, right? But compared to Donald Trump, he sounded like...
a statesman.
Yeah, exactly, absolutely. Right? He sounded like Teddy Roosevelt. He was amazing. He was so brilliant that I sat there, I thought, you know what? Legitimately, if Mike Pence was president, he would have sailed through this election. He really would have. And I mean, you know, Mike Pence is fucking Wonder Bread, for Christ's sake. He is...
He's moldy Wonder Bread. The one that you can't tell that there's mold on it. So you eat it, and then you get sick.
But the point is, comparatively, he was like, he was genuinely the most impressive politician I've ever seen.
But to be fair, compared to Trump, Zelaya is a better spokesperson.
Like, well, yeah, she absolutely.
She has better rhetorical abilities than Donald Trump.
Yeah, and she can certainly project a voice to the back of the room. I'll give her that. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's, yeah. She definitely has.
She's a girl.
Uh-huh, indeed. But.
She's got some pipes.
Oh, God, yes.
So, Bolsonaro has said that he thinks there might be interference in the U.S. elections, and he's afraid that they will happen here, too. But he is confident in Trump's re-election. So he said, Trump said the same thing that Bolsonaro said in 2018, which is, if I lose, it's because it's fraudulent. But if I win, it's fine.
Yeah. 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 Well, this is exactly the same play they're doing now as well. This is the thing. Yeah. Like, Trump has already gone on to Twitter at least 300 times since he woke up this morning.
Did you see him tweeting polls? P-O-L-E-S.
Yeah, absolutely. As in javelin or somebody who lives in Poland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he meant Santa Claus.
You know he did that to Wales as well, didn't you?
No.
Yeah. He was talking about how he was, you know, in one of his self-aggrandizing tweets that he's such a great statesman and that he'd visited all these countries, including meeting, you know, President of France and the Queen of England. And then also as well, the Prince of Wales, except he spent Wales, W-H-A-L-E-S, as in as in the gigantic marine mammal.
The best we can hope for now is 4 years from now, a Kamala Harris presidency.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe 8 years after that, we're going to have a actual progressive person as the president of the United States, because she's very much a moderate. We know this.
Okay, fine. But at this point, again, like I say, at this point, you could get a honey badger, right? And put it in a suit, okay? And then put it in the Oval Office, and it would wreck less stuff than Donald Trump. That's kind of my point.
It would wreck less stuff mostly for people in the United States. So the problem with this is that the president of the United States affects us all. That's why we all give a shit. We shouldn't have to give a shit about, you know, we should have to just, you know, at the end of the week, look at a paper. Oh, okay. They've elected a president. Cool. But no, we all have to care because they affect all of us. But the thing is, they affect all of us in a different way than they affect people in the US. So you get a Biden presidency, it's going to be very different, a very different experience for people in the United States and people in the rest of the world. A Biden president against Bolsonaro is still a danger for Brazilians. Brazilians still might lose their sovereignty over the Amazon, which I know Bolsonaro is doing the worst job, but it's still in our territory. I still don't want the United States coming here and deciding that they are going to, quote unquote, protect the Amazon rainforest, because they're not. They have special interests in anything that they do. They are not, you know, environmentalists. So that's my problem with electing Joe Biden, apart from, you know, the sexual assault stuff.
Hmm.
Glenn Greenwald, the whole Glenn Greenwald thing really pissed me off. Like, go be a self-righteous motherfucker on your own time. You didn't see this?
No, I didn't. What is the Glenn Greenwald thing?
So he decided that he wanted to write an expose about Joe Biden 3 days before the election.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And the other editors at The Intercept told him, no, it's not fact-checked, this is just an opinion piece. I think mostly they, you know, saw the harm that it would bring to the rest of the world, considering that he was just going to say the Ukraine stuff all over again.
Okay.
So he left The Intercept in a huff. Oh, nobody likes me. They're censoring me. I'm going to post this on my website. He posted on his website and nobody gave a shit. You know, Glenn Greenwald has done a lot of good to the world. His husband is a federal deputy here in Brazil. But come the fuck on. The world is hurting. A Joe Biden presidency will be better, infinitely better, than the alternative, which is a Donald Trump presidency. But we also should not kid ourselves that a Joe Biden presidency is also not a solution.
No, no. But it's the lesser of two evils, and I'll take that. That's kind of my argument about it, is that ultimately, if it's a choice between getting shot in the foot and getting shot in the head, I'd much rather get shot in the foot. And that's kind of where we are at the moment. And honestly, being shot in the foot will be a relief at this point. You know, it'll be a nice change of pace, rather than getting repeatedly shot in the head. That's basically where we are.
I feel like I've been repeatedly punched in the gut, and then when I was like, "Please stop punching me in the gut," the universe said, "Sure, we'll stop," and then started punching me in the chest.
So I was watching. Right, U.S. elections are wild. Like, the coverage of U.S. elections are insane. Yeah. Because I'm very much used to watching British elections, where what happens is that you turn on BBC News, and Hugh Edwards will be there with his Welsh accent. It's amazing with Hugh Edwards. Are you aware of Hugh Edwards, BBC News' lead anchor?
No.
Okay. Well, one of the things that is weird about BBC News coverage is that BBC Wales Today, the local kind of Wales centric news station or news program, all has lead anchors that go, "Hello, you're watching BBC Wales. Today, a man dressed as a Wurzel is wanted for a robbery at a post office in Machynlleth." Anyway, so that's basically what BBC Wales Today anchors are like. And then you go and watch the actual national, you know, UK broadcast of BBC News, and it's more often than not fronted by a guy called Hugh Edwards, who's like, "All right, today, oh man, shit's happening. We're gonna break it down for you now." That's basically the glory that is Hugh Edwards. And Hugh Edwards will turn up on election night and go, "Oh bloody hell, right, okay, well, public hat lol, it's gonna be a long one. We've got an exit poll coming out now. Tories are gonna win. There you go, all right. Now we're going to talk about this shit for about another 9 or 10 hours until we get the actual result. All right? It's up to you if you stick with us or not. We're going to interview Dominic Raab, probably. He's going to say some bullshit. And then we're going to all laugh at him for a bit. Right? Okay, good." Right? So that's basically BBC News. And it's election coverage. So that's what I'm used to. I'm used to that. You stay up to watch the exit poll. You go, "Okay, cheers, thank you very much." You go to bed. You wake up in the morning, find out the exit poll was right all along, and that you didn't have to stay up for like 10 hours to watch it. US election coverage is fucking insane, though, because they treat it like it's a sport, and also they release the votes in dribs and drabs, which is bonkers.
Yeah, they begin with the exit polls, which are shit.
No, but they don't actually wait until the all the results are in, and they just go, "Oh, and this is," which is what I'm used to. That's what I'm used to. What they do is go, "So currently, at the moment, in Kentucky, oh, it's a big win for Barry the Horse, who's a write-in candidate." I'm entirely sure why Barry the Wonder Horse is doing so well there, but people love him. People love him. Anyway, Susan, who do you think is going to be in Barry's first cabinet? And they'll talk about that for a bit. And then, like 2 hours, 3 hours later, they'll be like, "Oh, and it turns out that Joe Biden won comfortably."
Yeah.
It's madness. It's madness.
Well, it's the 24-hour news cycle. It's the gamification of politics. It's the sort of score thing that they do. So they have the trending and the graph. So it's a graph war between the each network. And they have their specialists and their talking heads. And the worst part is that we've copied all that. So we have Brazilian CNN and Brazilian Fox and Brazilian 24 hours news station, Global and Bungie, doing the exact same thing. And it's just so annoying. And then my dad will open my door and go, yay, one more electoral vote for Biden. I'm like, yeah, I know. Well, how do you know? I have a Google thing here telling me. And that's it. You can just check that. And when we were having the impeachment vote against Dilma, they did the same thing. It was ridiculous how they made it like a sports thing. You know, the votes to illegally impeach a president. And I had to put up a score on my computer screen to, you know, be sure that she was going to be removed from office. It's also very weird for me because since we have the electronic ballot, we get our results the same night. So everybody votes on the same day. We don't have mail votes. We don't have in-transit votes. We don't have early voting. So everybody votes on Sunday. This year, it's going to be a delayed. It was delayed, the voting day. It's usually in October, but because of the pandemic, it's going to be on November 15th. And everybody goes to vote on Sunday. And there are no lines because it's an electronic ballot. You just go over there with your voter ID or just your regular ID, which everybody has because they're mandatory. And you just show them to the volunteer, who's not really a volunteer, they're conscripted, and you vote, and then you leave, and that's it. And then you get pizza, because that's what we did when I was a kid. My parents went to vote, and I got pizza. I don't make the rules. So now, what I am used to is the ballots close, the voting closes at 6, and you get the results at 9. By 9, at the latest 10 p.m., you know who won. So there's even an app from the Superior Electoral Court where you can just follow the election. Don't have to look at the news channels at all. Just follow it on the app. So it's really weird to just see the sort of chaos. And I often begin lectures saying that one of the worst electoral systems in the world is the United States electoral system, to sort of shock people, because Brazilians have this mutt syndrome that we are the worst at everything and the United States is the best at everything. So I always have fun in sort of shocking people out of that mentality, because it is one of the worst electoral systems in the world. People don't get to actually vote for their president, and it's one of the worst voting systems because you wait for days and days. People are in line for hours waiting to vote. That's not okay. Gerrymandering. What? No. That's not okay either.
And the Electoral College vote is racist as well.
Yes, it's incredibly racist. That's the worst part of the thing. That's why this electoral system is so ridiculous. It's racist. It's completely racist. So that's what happens here. You get the results on the day of. And what happened when Dilma was reelected is similar to what is happening now. So a lot of Biden votes, we kind of know that are coming in by mail. So we're going to get those results now trickling in until the end of the week. What happened when Dilma was reelected is that for some godforsaken reason, they started releasing the results from the south up. And the south of Brazil trends right, and the northeast and north trend left.
I know, because we went through this on our stereotypes episode.
Yes, we did. Our stereotypes
episode. Yes, available on Spotify and anywhere else you listen to your podcasts.
So, her rival, Aécio Neves, thought he was winning. And everybody was very excited. Yeah. that he was going to win, everybody on his camp. But then as soon as they hit the middle of the country, specifically the north of my state of Minas Gerais, Dilma started to get more votes and more and more votes and more and more votes. And then it's kind of leaning left, and she won by a very small margin. She still won. And then you have the picture of him in the moment where he lost. Like this entire hotel room full of people, completely, their faces just dropped. And of course, Brazil being the meme country that it is, they've already photoshopped Donald Trump's face onto Aécio Neves' face because, you know, it's priceless. So that's what I feel is going to happen. It's what I hope it's going to happen because we can't take this anymore. The world cannot take this man anymore. He is incoherent. He is incompetent. He's incompetent as a human being. He can't walk. He can't talk. He can't drink water properly. He needs medical attention.
To be fair, I can barely walk, talk, and drink water.
You're not the president of the United States.
I know, but I'd like to think that I'd be fairly good at it if, you know, if given the opportunity.
You spent 10 minutes checking your wine for a piece of pork.
No, there was a fly in it.
Or a bug or something. There's a fly in it. You just spent 10 minutes while I was trying to be brilliant. You were over there just sticking your finger inside your glass.
I was rescuing a fly from my glass of wine.
Oh my god.
A little bug had fallen into my glass of wine and I was helping him out and on his way, kind of thing. I don't want the poor sausage to, you know, expire in my wine. I still wanted to drink it. I don't want to drink him. That'd be weird for both of us, honestly. That's not, generally speaking, how I start a friendship. I do want to give a shout out to my man, because you mentioned earlier about the graphs and so on and so forth. There's a guy who was with the screens and so on and so forth, and the charts and the people and so on and so forth and things like that.
And I love a good graph. I just don't think the ones on the 24-hour networks are good.
All right, fine. Wind your neck in, graph Nazi. My point is there's a guy who was working for CNN who basically pulled a 16-hour shift standing in front of a television screen, pointing at it, going, look, look at what's happening in Pennsylvania right now. The numbers, they're moving like that. And at one point, genuinely at one point, this man was so tired at the end that he basically disintegrated in front of your eyes as the day went on. That after the end of this, after he'd done like this whole thing, this long spiel about like really deep diving into Arizona and the different counties within Arizona and why it looks like it's going to Biden and so on. He'd done all this, and at the end of it, you could tell he was losing his concentration, losing his train of thought, you know, wandering, just meandering, incomplete sentences, the whole thing. And the anchor goes, okay, thank you very much. We're now going to go to Lisa. We're now going to go to Lisa with the news from the business world, from the stock market. Lisa, are you there? Hello? Lisa, are you there?
Lisa was dead asleep.
Lisa? I'm sorry, we're having some technical problems with Lisa. So, can you just run us through the numbers for Pennsylvania again? you could see this guy, his face just screamed, oh, sweet Christ, really? Like that. But he did it. He did it anyway because he was profesh. And I'm just saying, Larissa, I'm just saying that you could learn a lot from the brave screen monkey that's been working for CNN today. I'm just saying.
I don't understand. Was that a dig at me?
No, I'm just saying that he displayed a level of profesh that I think that maybe you wanna aspire to, perhaps, one day.
Are you saying I'm not profesh?
Am I saying you're not profesh?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I am, yeah. Yeah, I am now because you've just opened up your Chrome browser. Do you know how I know you've just opened up your Chrome browser?
How?
Because it's ruined the connection on Skype and I can no longer see you.
I'm sorry.
See, this is what I mean, right? Okay, you only had to concentrate for maybe 5 minutes. Maybe that's 5 minutes, and you couldn't even do that. There are levels of profesh, Larissa.
Well, to be fair, it wasn't Chrome, it was Firefox. And I was sending our friend Mary some pictures from our conversation from yesterday to make her mom happy because she's hurt.
Okay, that's fine. However, that's something you don't have to do while we're recording a podcast.
So do you have any questions for me about anything related to this?
Absolutely not. No, at all, whatsoever. I'm just delighted that I actually got to watch this unfold because it's been fascinating, and I've it's like a sport.
You're welcome.
It's amazing. This, I mean, you know, nothing to do with you.
You said it was due to me that you are keeping up with the election.
Yeah, I mean, it very much is due to you. I could have been. You know what I could have been doing today, honestly.
Yeah.
Instead of spending all day watching the election, you know what I could have been doing?
What?
Watching anything else. I could have literally been watching anything else.
You don't have to spend the whole day watching the election. I don't do that.
Well, I do now because I feel compelled to.
I check on it periodically.
No, now I feel compelled to.
I check on it periodically while I'm working, while I'm doing other things. I don't stay glued to the television.
But now I feel I need to, because of you.
You don't need to. No, you do not need to.
Now you tell me that. Now you tell me that after I spent all day.
I thought you knew.
After I spent all day finding out how Joe Biden's trending in Buckshot County. Thank you so much.
I thought you knew. I did see a great picture of Theresa May next to Lord Buckethead.
Mm.
Announcing the results for Maidenhead. So that was amazing.
Mm. It's got a giant bucket for a head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That she had to keep her cool next to Lord Buckethead. Just amazing.
Did you know who Al Murray is, by the way?
No.
You don't?
Not offhand like that.
Okay, so Al Murray is a comedy character. The idea is that he's this boorish pub landlord. So he's kind of like ironically pro-Brexit.
Okay.
Point for the fellas, glass of white wine for the ladies. I'm not saying that's right, it's just the way it is. That kind of thing, yeah? Anyway, he stood...
Nobody drinks red wine, apparently.
No, apart from me and that fly. Anyway, so... South Thanet, which was contested in the UK election in 2015 by Al Murray, was also contested, the same seat, was also contested by Nigel Farage.
Okay. No, wait. The character is contesting the seat?
Yes.
Or is the comedian?
Well, I mean, Al Murray is contesting the seat. Because Al Murray's real name is, of course... Al Murray. But Al Murray is contesting the seat as Al Murray the character rather than Al Murray the comedian.
Okay.
So, Al Murray was contesting the seat of South Thanet in the 2015 UK general election. Okay?
Yes.
Now, also contesting this seat was Craig McKinley and Nigel Farage. Now, bear in mind this is 2015 Nigel Farage. So his star is on the rise, and he is expected to win this seat easily, okay? He is expected to win this seat, absolutely walk it, completely walk it. And then what happened is that in the seat of South Thanet, Nigel Farage got 16,026 votes. Craig McKinley won the seat with 18,838 votes. Al Murray got 318 votes, right? Okay. Which is fine. That's what happens, novelty and so on and so forth. But it led to my favorite election moment ever, which is when they read out the results and Al Murray was so stunned and so overjoyed that Nigel Farage hadn't been elected to the seat. It's a piece of pure poetry watching this man's eyes go wide. and his hands thunderously clap together. It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
Did he? So he just broke character.
Yeah. No, he's like, oh. He was stunned. He was stunned, and it's beautiful, and I love it. I love it. And every once in a while when I'm feeling down, I just find that on YouTube and replay it to myself. And it's a lovely thing.
So, I think this episode is long enough for a randomly recorded The US Elections Are Insane episode.
Absolutely. I agree.
I would like to give a shout out to our friend Nia, because she's hurt herself. So, you know, you keep on keeping on, Nia, and you rest and get better.
Rest up. Make sure that you're well and fit and top-notch. I don't really know what to say, honestly, at that point. I started that whole thing going, oh yeah, I'll say something nice as well. And I got halfway through and I got lost. I'll be honest with you.
She's gonna love that you did.
But Nia, still, the sentiment is... you know what I mean. Shush. Anyway. Do you have any questions for me, by the way? Because this is my first US election.
How many states are in the United States?
Yes. I did very much enjoy CNN's coverage of the US election. Thank you for asking me that, Larissa.
Okay. How many representatives are in the House of Representatives?
Several.
How many senators? Come on, dude. That one's easy.
How?
Two senators per state. It's 100.
Okay. So, sorry, what was the question?
Okay. Everyone, thank you for listening.
No, just ask the question again. I didn't hear the question. What was the question?
How many senators are in the United States Congress?
Okay, so it's two per state, so it's 100. Also, do you want to ask the state question again? How many states are in the...
No, because then you're going to have to do math in your head, and nobody wants to see that.
Fine. 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 Right, well, in that...
How many senators does Brazil have?
Plenty. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We hope you had a good week, despite this whole debacle of an election. And we hope... By the time you get this, Joe Biden is already president.
Yes, indeed. So, in the meantime, stay safe, look after yourselves and each other. Remember to rate, follow, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Where we at, yo?
At Brazil Nuts Pod.
Boom. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. So, it only remains to say good night, God bless, take care. And however this works out for you, we love you all dearly. And... we will see you real soon. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, how'd you tell the sex of an ant?
How?
Drop it in a bucket of water. And if it sinks, it's a girl ant. And if it floats, it's a...
It's a boy. Oh, my God. No.
Brazil Nuts is an effort by Larissa Peixoto and Garrett Davis. We'd like to thank Walter Zielinski for the graphic design and all the essential workers out there keeping us safe. And the poll workers, you know? It's not my country, it's not your country probably, but they're like gun-toting people threatening their lives. So good job, guys, and counting all those ballots.
Is there rugby on?
No, it's one day before the 5th of November. So,
oh, right.
It's okay. One day before bonfire night, and so some bloody idiot has decided to do it early.
Idiot.
Yeah, indeed. And honestly, really, I don't understand why we even bother celebrating bonfire night. I do kind of... I understand it's something that everybody can go out and look at the sky and go, ooh, ah, I've never seen a firework before. in my life ever.
Well, when I first researched it to understand what it was, because, you know, not British, they're like, there are people who celebrate it because it was a rebellious act, and there are people who celebrate it because he failed.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's a celebration that everybody can enjoy. It's one for both the anarchists and the bootlickers.